Good morning. It's a privilege and honor to stand before you this morning to talk about, to bring the word, the only word that matters, Jesus. Father God, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the work you did, for the miracle of Christmas, for the miracle of Jesus, that you Jesus, you came down here. You came down here for a purpose on purpose, God. With every single person sitting here in mind. Every single person standing in here. Every person that walks by here. Every person that thinks about here. Every person on this whole earth. You came here for a purpose on purpose, God. And Lord, I pray over us even now that we make a way for you to come in. That we make straight the path of the Lord. That we give space to you. That we're not like the buildings, that there was no space. They were looking for a place for Jesus to come down, and they couldn't find one. Lord, may that not be said about us this morning. That we would be able to, no matter where we are with you, that there be room in the inn. To receive you, Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Oh. So I want to, there's a scripture that's been on my heart a lot, heavy this morning and last night. It's in Philippians. It's in chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 1. I know it starts with a therefore, so you'll have to read the chapter 1 later. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Amen. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for the interest, for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the very form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that at every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen, amen. There is so much there. There is so much there. There's the Christmas story. There's the Easter story. There's how we should be acting now that Jesus has come. It's all in there. You know, I would venture to say that most of us in here have bowed the knee and have confessed that Jesus is Lord. Probably most of us. We're in a church and it's Christmas time. But I want to tell you that there's people in your circle that will also. And hopefully they'll do it when they have a chance. Of their own free will, of their own accord, to acknowledge what God has done through Jesus. Because God sent his only Son. God sent his only Son to die for our sins. And that's the Christmas story. Let's go into Luke chapter 2. even before chapter 2. I mean, I did a little bit of Christmas time and history last night. It's like, where does this Santa come from? You know, Saint Nicholas. Yeah, okay, San Gabriel, California, 1981. No, this Santa Claus, this Saint Nicholas, and the Dutch called him Sinterklaas, Saint Nick Claus, Santa Claus. And then in the 1800s, a couple rich guys in New York really commercialized the idea, Santa Claus. But he was a man that gave gifts to people. He was a man that gave gifts. And there's a story that he redeemed some three daughters of a man that they didn't have money to get married, the dowry. And so he gave them the gift for that and redeemed them. You know, so Santa is a man known for giving gifts. Santa gives gifts. Amen. Saint Nicholas. But I was also studying Christmas. What's Christmas? I'm like, okay, what's Christmas all about? Christmas, or we talked about Daniel mentioned the Catholic tradition. Well, Christ Mass. So there's a Mass, and Mass, since I'm not Catholic, but studying it, Mass is about the Eucharist and communion. So they have communion. It's communion of Christ, right? So there's a service called Christ Mass where they acknowledge Jesus the Christ. Okay, so that's good. Jesus the Christ and Santa that gives gifts. So now back to the story. So let's go in. Back in chapter 1, actually, of Luke, when the birth of Christ is announced to Mary, she says, "Be it unto me according to your will." Well, let's read it here. Now, in this is verse 26, sorry. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Amen. And Mary said, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" Angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age and is now in the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed for her. And if we skip down a little bit, I wanted to highlight Mary, how she worships God. I just love this. It's in verse 46. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. And he has filled the hungry with good things." Amen. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. And Mary remained there and returned 3 months and returned to her house. Amen. Let it be unto me according to your will. You know, there's a song, Jen, you did a dance to it. The only thing my heart can offer is a vacancy. If you heard that song, or you were here, you know that lyric. You know, when I came here this morning, I was like, God, let me offer a vacancy to have you come in. And that's the Christmas story. Let us have a vacancy that Jesus can come in. Let us have a vacancy. Because, let's just read more of it. I know I should have this one memorized, but I want to get it right. You know, like when Jesus came and, you know, he lit up the starry, the sky. Can you imagine? It talks about the hosts of angels. Because with Jesus coming meant he redeemed humanity. And you got to take a step back for that. We just hear the story, you know, there's Jesus came and, you know. But no. At one moment of time, he redeemed the entire humanity of that already came and that already will come. He redeemed entire humanity. And so the host of angels, can you imagine? 10,000 times 10,000? I did the math this morning. 10 billion.
Wow.
I don't even know if there's that many stars. Maybe there are. Somebody like astrology might know. Wow. But this guy, the host, 10 billion angels, wow, giving glory to God in the highest because of Jesus being born. You better believe that sky was bright. you know, but why? If we don't really understand Jesus and give him room, like, what are we doing? You know, like, are we going to cherish him? Like, I love this stained glass. Are we going to cherish Jesus? Cherish Jesus? Cherish his word? Jesus is the word. Are we going to cherish the word he spoke over us? Cherish his love? Cherish everything he has for us? Are we going to pursue it? Because Jesus, he came that to redeem us. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen.
Amen.
I used to think, like, what's the proper response to that? Do I say so? Or do I say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not just with our mouth, that our lives would say that we're redeemed of the Lord. You know? We can walk around depressed, anxious. And that's not redeemed. That's not walking around redeemed. Yet in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we can redeem the time. You know, like Jesus, he didn't just come to say, okay, everybody, come on up, water's fine. No, Jesus came that we would have life and life abundantly. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we'd have life and life abundantly. And so he came so that we could have fullness of joy. He came that we could have peace. He came that we could have victory, because he said we're not just victors. Every situation with Jesus, we don't just win the battle. We don't just fight the battle and win. We are more than a victor. We are more than a victor. Our victoriousness in Christ goes so much more than a single battle. That's why God can say that he makes all things work together for good for those that love him. Because we're more than a victor. I want to grab something here. Sorry, I forgot my keys. We're more than a conqueror. Forgot my keys. We're more than a conqueror. And what did he do? He came not just to come have life. He came to die. And when he died, he took these keys from the enemy.
Amen.
Death, hell, and the grave. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating authority over death, hell, and the grave. Another mind, so. You know, he came that we would have authority. So us being beat up by the enemy is not okay. Especially when the keys are right here. He's just saying, take them. Take the keys. Take the keys. Let's flip over, and we're going to do a little acrobatics. I wasn't sure how much scripture reading we would get today, but we're going to do a little bit of acrobatics. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. Or unlock your phone and open up your Bible app and do it. Just verse 1. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons. And to cure diseases. We have power, if you're a disciple, and I'll get to that in a minute. Actually, I'll just get to it now. Later in Luke, he says, if anybody wants to be my disciple, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, and that's that scripture I read at the beginning, that we have the same mind as the Lord Jesus did. Not considering God, we've been made in God's image. And a lot of times we walk around like we are God. But not considering equality with God, something we grasped, we humble ourselves. Even to the point of death, death on the cross. That's what Jesus did. That's what he says his disciples do. If we walk in that, he will teach us. We learn. A disciple, another way of saying disciple, is an apprentice. So when we take up our cross daily and we are humble and we are meek, we are being apprentices unto Jesus. And he said right here in Luke chapter 9 that he gave his disciples, the 12 disciples, power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. But he didn't stop there. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. That's a good quote. I don't know who it's from, but I think it's an older guy. Maybe in like the 1700s or something. Anyway, preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. You know, like our redeemed life, I kind of think it should mean something. You know, like some, it doesn't mean like we're necessarily standing on the street corner saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. At some point, people aren't going to receive that. But it means that as we go our way, that we're changed by the good news of Jesus Christ, that as we're disciples of the Lord, and as we come across a demon, we have the authority to cast it out. As we come across a sick, we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The same kind of message keeps coming to me. Every time I get up on a Wednesday, any time I get up on a Sunday, the same thing. It's like, you know, if Jesus has done marvelous, wonderful things, if Jesus has taken up my cross, if God has, if he's traded my sin for his righteousness, my life needs to show that. My life needs to show that. And I get it. Life happens. But that doesn't lower the bar. That doesn't lower the bar. And that's why that's why God wakes us up. And I believe God is waking this church up. God is waking his church up, the whole church, you know, to say, let's do this. You know, we're seeing these things in greater, like I mentioned early. I didn't even say some of the things that we're saying. We're seeing people's legs grow out. Hallelujah. I'm not going to embarrass anybody if you were one of these people, but we're seeing people's legs grow out. Myself, we're seeing cancer healed. Amen. Amen. We are seeing cancer healed. Amen. Tinnitus for almost a year, healed instantly. You know, if you've dealt with tinnitus, I know some people in here have, and it can drive you mad.
We're seeing the blind receive sight. Someone that attends the church, was in this church today, was blind, and they're receiving their sight. We're seeing salvations. Amen. We're seeing salvations. We're getting called out. It's like there's so many opportunities all around us. There's so many opportunities. We're getting called out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so with your actions. Say so with your words. You know, like your parents, your siblings, aunts and uncles, if they don't know Jesus today, they will acknowledge and bow their knee and confess that he's Lord. Your boss, your coworkers, your employees will acknowledge Lord. These people out here, the people in Arleta, the people in San Fernando Valley, Santa Clarita Valley, Greater LA, all over the world. We got people all over the world that call Osborne their home. Amen. Jesus. Jesus. Let's go over to Psalms. Psalms 23, you may have this memorized. This is a good one to memorize too. This is why the Lord came. Put yourself in the shoes of David, that he's your shepherd and you shall not want. How much of our life is going after things we want, yet he as our shepherd that knows everything we need. Verse 2, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He makes us to lie, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. He leads us. He takes us. He takes care of us. Like, this is good news. You know, that if you're struggling that, oh God, I need this, like that the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. That he's not done yet. That he's making you to lie down in green pastures. This is good news. Because if you're in the dry, barren land, he's taking you to the green pastures. That if you're in the drought, and we've experienced this here in California, but that in the drought, he takes you to the still waters. Not just the raging waters, but the still waters. So you can get a drink and not get just swept away by the torrent. That he restores our soul. That when we come to him, he restores our soul. Because he's our shepherd. We shall not want. That he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because he's our shepherd and we shall not want. He takes me and put me on his path of righteousness. He saves me. That's salvation. There's salvation in each one of these verses. Yea, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You save me. You protect me. You're with me. You fight my battles. You give me the table in the presence of my enemy. A banquet in the presence of my enemy, God. You anoint my head with oil. Jesus. 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 And my cup runs over. My cup runs over. I have a cup. And it always has enough for me to take a drink. It's not empty. It's not parched. I can take a drink whenever I want. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. If Jesus is your shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's good news. That's good news. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're my shepherd. That we're the sheep of his pasture. Somebody said that. I think it was Pastor Greg earlier today. We're the sheep of his pasture. You know, we're out there doing our sheep thing, and he's got it. He's got it. We can go our way, like he was telling his disciples, to go your way and do the things You know, if there's demons, take care of them. If there's the sick, lay your hands on, pray for them to be healed. Go preach the gospel. But we can go in the fold, and he's got it. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about, well, what if this, what if that? You know, he's got it. He's in control. You know, seemingly, he at one point, the enemy had the control. And to those that don't know him, he still does have authority. The prince of the power of the air has authority. Yet God still has the supreme authority over it all and still causes all things to work together. The enemy wants to do stuff. No, God's like, okay, well, you're doing this move's like playing chess. Oh, you get checkmate. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Jesus came and has come for you. He came with you in mind to give you victory over whatever the enemy's doing, whatever circumstance you're going through. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Why else did he come? Turn to Isaiah. And each one of these, you know, what the disciples are, why Jesus came, the Jesus, the Psalm 23 about him being the shepherd, those are good news that you need to hold on to. You know, and Isaiah 61, I can't get away from this scripture. Because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's upon us. To those that are called by his name, the Spirit of the Lord God will anoint us to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. We're seeing that happen in this church in the last few months. You know, and it needs to come out of this church. It needs to go out of this church too. But we are seeing it. It's like God's like, this is what God told me. He's like, you believe? Now you know. And as you know, God is activating us and sending us out to do these things too. We're out in the market or, you know, wherever, the highways and the byways. This is what Jesus read of himself. And it's also the ministry we walk in. We can walk in. That we can proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. That we can comfort those who mourn. That we can console those who mourn in Zion. We were praying for Jerusalem this morning. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. There it is again, that he may be glorified. There's people that will receive their ministry, the brokenhearted that will be healed, the captives that are free, the ones that are in bondage, the ones that who mourn, the ones that mourn, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. Like, we're not complete here. We're not complete here because there's people that will be added here that are going to rebuild old ruins. They will raise up former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Amen. So, you know, as Jesus came, that we would have life and life abundantly. He needs room. He needs room in the inn. He needs room in the inn. Because you cannot continue in the old ways and expect the new to happen. You have to leave room in the inn. I'm just going to pray for a little bit, God. So Jesus, I just thank you for this morning, God. I thank you that you came. You came from on high. You came down here, God. Not just as a show of force, not just to show off the angels, but that we would have life and life abundantly. That we would have, that we would know real life, real abundant life. And that we would be even behold that. Like you came that we would behold the Son of God. That as we behold you, like if we make room, God, the things that aren't of you, the attacks of the enemy, the things of our flesh that are trying to hold on, the circumstances of the world, that they lose their effectiveness. They just fall off. They fall off us in Jesus' name. Lord, that you show us how to live, God, as we die. You show us how to live as we die. Lord, teach us how to live, how to have the same mindset. You said we have the mind of Christ. God, teach us to have that mind that is humble. Not just humble, but meek, because you have bestowed great authority. Lord, but without the humility, without meekness, we're going to miss it, God. God, so we have to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, God. Holy Spirit, you said in John that to all who believed, he gave the right to become children of God. And you also said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. No matter where you're at right now, Jesus came for every single person in this room. And if you know him, if you know him and you called out to him, but you've been walking outside the sheepfold, outside the gates, know that he's been waiting for you. And maybe that you're here right now hearing this because it's time to come back. And as soon as you make that move back, he runs to grab you. He runs to grab you because the things that have been happening, the depression, the attacks of the enemy, the lack of finances, all those things that the enemy's thrown at you to get your mind off of Jesus. He says, just come back in, and I'll take you to the green pastures, and I'll take you to the still waters, and I'll take you and prepare a banquet in the presence of your enemies, and I will give you victory. I will give you victory. That he says he's risen with healing in his wings. Jesus, you've risen with healing in your wings. You came and you bore our sins and iniquities and you took them to the cross. And you've risen with healing in your wings, Jesus. Lord, that you offer healing. That you offer healing. We've seen it, God. And some are going through a process of healing and others are healed instantly, God. But you are a God of healing. Your name, Jehovah Rapha, is God, my healer. That you are, healing is part of who you are. That salvation is part of who you are. God, that if somebody's been hearing all this stuff I've been talking about, and they haven't made the decision to say, I want to enter in, and I want Jesus to be my shepherd. I want Jesus to come in. I want to give him room and say, Jesus, I want to do it your way. I'm tired of the way my life's been going. I'm tired of the way things have been going wrong. That you say, come on in. That you just say in your heart, Jesus, I want you. That the reason Jesus came was to forgive your sins. He came, the perfect man, came to die on the cross. And he left, he lived a perfect life. Because if he didn't live the perfect life, he wouldn't have been able to take on the sin of man. But the perfect man, God with us, Emmanuel, came to die on the cross. The penalty for each one of our sins. The penalty for each one of our sins. And by believing in God, by believing in Jesus, God gives you the right, not just an option, God gives you the right to become a child of God.